Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, December 24th, 2018. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, folks, it is a special version of the Majority Report. We're not even here. We're in the past. We're in the past, and as it is Christmas Eve day, we are going to, I guess it doesn't make any sense that we would look back on the rest of the year on Christmas Eve day, but we're going to do it anyways. In fact, we recorded this on Christmas Eve day. In other words, we recorded this last week. We're releasing it today. But in our universe, it is actually today, and we're looking forward, but taking this time to look back. And so joining us in studio to do so on this special version of the Majority Report, Alex Perrine.
Hello.
In studio.
Hello.
Michael is here with us.
Three Jews reflect.
And Eve. And Matt operating the board. Mm-hmm. And Brendan, Jamie Brendan's left.
Where's Brendan?
Brendan, I think he's working out. May come back.
I think it's definitely a good time to do a Matt. Like,
you fellas know Seinfeld joke? Three Jews talking news.
All that
like
and more.
Like a picture growing up in Dakota.
Today's program, ladies and gentlemen. A special version of the Majority Report. We're going to be a little bit relaxed. We're not drinking, although it does occur to me that we probably should.
I mean,
if we do have some scotch.
Oh, yeah? All right. I could, you know.
All right, Matt, let's break it out.
It's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve.
Have a drink. This is what Jews do. It's several days before Christmas. They gather together, complain about the news.
I don't need Chinese a glass. Food. I have my Ask the Moms mug, Majority Report branded. I'll put just a little bit in that. I won't get too crazy. I do have to go home. It's the afternoon, and I do have to go home and make dinner for my children. But, I mean,
hey, that's, kids.
There was a time where that was still.
It would have been unusual for you not to drink scotch before you made dinner for your children once.
The only unusual part about dad coming home and drinking some scotch at 3 in the afternoon is that he's making dinner.
Yeah, the making dinner part would be the
Yeah,
be the
wow,
weird
you
part,
really.
Yeah.
I will. Why don't you just bring that alcohol. Bottle over here?
Woke alcoholism. gender progressive drunkenness.
You know, and the reason why I'm so so comfortable with having a little bit to drink right now is because I'm looking at a sheet that looks back on the year 2018, and I really all it makes me feel is like I don't know if I'm going to make it through 2019. I can't believe we made it through 2018. I can't believe we made it through 2017, and I don't know if I'm going to make it through 2019. But I want to look back. You know, we were going to do.
Time's dilated.
Yeah, time is totally dilated. We were going to do a bunch of features. The only one I could come up with was Chuck Schumer's worst moments of 2018. That was the only.
That's like, yeah.
That was the only feature I could come up with. you know, maybe let's circle back around to that because this, we had. I mean, there's two parallel tracks that are going on right through this entire, mm-hmm. I think, administration so far. One is the sort of like the Dick Wolf track, I call it, right? It's where it's all dun, just dun. About prosecutors.
Right.
And you know, the Mueller investigation. Let's talk about that, but I want to broaden it out a little bit because we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, clearly, though, I don't know about Russia collusion, okay? And I don't know. Well, let's just start with this. I don't know about collusion. Hmm. There could be collusion. There could be collusion, it seems to me, with multiple foreign governments at this point, right. right? Like, it could be. And, you know, Russia was, I think, just sort of the easy one that people settled on because at one time the former Soviet Union was like, there's something, like, encoded in our DNA.
Well, and because they were the ones, too, who did the most public-facing things with, like, the troll army and stuff.
Right.
Like, so that was, like, a thing that actually happened that people could, so everyone sort of fixated on. Like, well, in addition to all the public-facing things they did, were they colluding behind the scenes as well? But also, lots and lots of money could have changed hands between many different parties here.
Right.
Let me do my – I want to become the Rachel Maddow of Saudi Arabia. So let me just say, it's a very interesting thing. The relationships with the Gulf states, though, are like there's nothing speculative about them. You know what I mean? Like Kushner's relationship with MBS.
Right.
The fact that they supported this insane, reckless blockade on Qatar, which is still happening. And I don't know. Maybe it was a coincidence that they rejected Kushner's request to bail them out of a disastrous real estate investment. That's all there. And they actually have – it's not as elaborate. It's not as sophisticated. They actually have Twitter and troll armies too. So
they use them more internally, yeah.
Yeah, but they use them more internally,
and that was what the scandal was with McKinsey, right? Where they were like hired McKinsey, and McKinsey was like, "So you want us to identify your critics on social media? We will ask no further questions."
right.
Message all right. Received.
So, but let's put that part of it aside for a moment and just talk about the sheer criminality that I think is clearly like coming out. All right, put aside the collusion and that. I don't think it's appropriate, and it's probably illegal, the con fraud stuff and this and that. But the sheer criminality that exists amongst all of these people, right? Like, it's pretty fucked up that the chief national security advisor was planning on kidnapping a guy for Turkey for money. I mean, it's like this is like
no, a guy in Pennsylvania,
right? The Gulen may not be a good guy or a bad guy, but like I feel like the guy, the closest advisor to the president of the United States, should not be, as a side gig, planning to illicitly kidnap somebody and bring him to Turkey.
Right.
I think there's massive, I think the emoluments thing is a sort of like namby-pamby as that sounds. I think like the level and the pettiness at the same time, like the scope of the graft and the pettiness of the graft is just like, it's like the world's biggest town. Do you know what I mean? I lived upstate for a while in the corruption in the reason why, like, there's no difference. These businessmen who live up there are like, oh yeah, that's why I'm a town supervisor. So I can give my friends the community low cost loans.
Right.
Like, what do you mean? That's just like, it's like me getting wholesale for stuff. Like that's it. Let's just talk about that for a moment, because I think the thing that could happen and probably won't is that we see a side of the world like this shit, I'm convinced, happens in business all the time.
Right.
That the CEO hires like, oh, you did my kid's wedding video. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you chief executive officer of videos in my company, like stuff like that, which the Trump administration's all about. Right.
Yeah.
And just like, we're going to hire at Air America. I know, like, we had a con man up at the top at the beginning, and everyone who is subsidiary to him, who like a quality person would go like, hey, what you're doing seems weird. Why are you doing that? They were not hired because that's who a con man doesn't want. So you just got all these other corrupt motherfuckers.
Doesn't
like
sound like you're innovative.
Like, I'm looking through this and like all the people who left, like, you know, I'm just thinking the first one, like,
Was it the
Helsinki
guy?
Or I don't know. All of the Scott Pruitt, you right. know, it just go on and on and on.
Price.
Price.
Price
know.
Was the first one, right?
So just in terms of the investigation, like, talk about it from that perspective, because at one point all this shit's going to get rolled out, I think.
Yeah.
And they may not be able to arrest Trump in office, but they're going to arrest a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And there's so much corruption here, like... I guess maybe, like, do you think we're any closer to sort of revealing, like, you know, like Taibbi writes, you know, wrote a book that was of that genre of, like, there's two systems of justice.
Right.
And on some level, like, Trump is showing, is exposing that. It's just because he put himself into a different position. He went out of the lane, right?
Right, no, exactly, exactly, yeah. And, I think comparing it to, like, a corrupt upstate New York town is absolutely right, because what happened is that all of this stuff suddenly showed up in the wrong context.
Right.
They were like, you know, and I think the investigations, it's going to hopefully, like, force the hand of these prosecutors who just sort of have been letting white collar crime slide for one reason or another, like, to because it's happening on such an absurd scale and so in the open, like, you don't, like, there's not even that much digging you have to do into it to, like, with stuff like, you know, what Zinke was up to and all that other stuff. So I mean, I would love to see all of this sort of keep collecting like a snowball rolling down a hill until it gathers up everyone, but it does seem like there's another tendency for these sort of law enforcement types to, like, get a couple names and then be like, well, we got them, you know?
Right.
You know what's funny? When you started outlining it, and this shows, though, like, how everybody's standard starts to subtly, because I was like, all right, if you're going to include, like, the kidnapping and the paying off the porn star, then we're not going to, I mean, give them a little slack, right? Because if you're going to just include all of their criminal activity, then... it's just not even fair.
Be sportsmanlike.
Yeah, be sportsmanlike. How are you going to even have a conversation about them? Don't you give somebody who can't play a handicap, right? and then the second, I was, I'm listening to Crime Town's podcast, and it's on it's on Detroit crime, and now they're doing like the Kilpatrick administration, and I guess like in 2002, 2003, that was a very big story, right? Yeah. Like mayor of Detroit, yeah. Like definitely. Because he was black and they called him the first hip hop mayor and all this stuff. And he was a criminal. Like, he's doing like a 25-year bid.
Yeah.
But there were some things that were like misuse of like security guards for like mistresses. I thought like Rudy did that.
Yeah.
And then other things that are like, yeah, like his wife leased a Lincoln Navigator way above price. Like, and all of these things that are just like, yeah, that's like, all of this stuff
that's
is
baked
totally
into...
baked, right? Like, just, well, like, yeah,
it's weird, yeah. You know. Like Hayes, I did his year in review, and we were talking. I don't know if it was even on air, but he was saying, like, do you remember what Gephardt was? It Gephardt or no, not Gephardt. The other guy who was in Congress,
Daschle.
Yeah. Why Daschle had to step aside?
He had to step aside because he wasn't paying taxes for housekeeping or childcare or something.
No, it was something like supposedly he borrowed like the car of like some wealthy guy and didn't repay the value of the trips that he took in
and
the
I
car.
And you know what's weird is I think the guy who did it, not that it makes that much of a difference, but that Leo Hendry, I think, was the business guy, and he was like one of these patriotic, yeah. Like, I'm a rich guy who actually supports like car check legislation.
Yeah.
So it was like, not only was it basically nothing, it was probably like the most positive influence in Tom Daschle's political life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that type of thing. But the other thing that occurs to me in terms of, like, you know, you see this level of criminality with like a guy like Manafort. You see this level of criminality with Trump and all the people around him, and you have to start asking the question, like, how the fuck did he not have any legal mm-hmm. problems?
Mm-hmm.
For the past 25 years mm-hmm. in New York City, with, you know, take the most cynical and jaundiced perspective, every guy in the Southern District of New York, U.S. Attorney's Office, every guy, gal, in the Eastern District of New York, of the U.S. Attorney's Office, the state attorney general, mm-hmm. the city DA, mm-hmm. like, okay, Vance gets $20,000, $25,000. Right. That's a lot, I guess. But it's not like taking down Donald Trump wouldn't be worth that yeah. in terms of your political career.
Seriously.
Like, I think, and, you know, it's the end of the year and I'm drinking. I can afford to be a little conspiratorial. I think that Donald Trump may have been probably unwittingly
right.
Sort of a little bit protected.
Yeah.
Because yeah. of all the information they may have been getting from Felix Sater.
Right.
And that's why this guy's floated through life like, I can't do anything.
I'm untouchable.
I'm so smart.
They
just so smart. They
learned
never,
about every single
never
new me. Cartel in New York City. Just like, oh, yeah, Trump's having a meeting with some new guys from Panama. There's probably an entire new criminal syndicate we didn't know about. We'll get all of our information out after this idiot sits with them.
We know
for
Felix
minutes.
Sater is a CIA FBI asset.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
have testified. This is public knowledge.
Yeah.
He and the way that they've been getting information from him is mostly because he's been money laundering, maybe Square and some other like arms deals. Well, he's got a money launder somewhere too, right? And that's Trump. And so
beautiful
they don't want Trump's business to be ruined because he's a repository for criminal activity.
Yeah.
They dip in. Sater's, you know, New York FBI's office, you know, Whitey Bulger, they dip in. They dip in every now and then, like you get three for you, one for us, and you know, we don't, and anybody who sniffs around Donald Trump gets like,
no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the only explanation.
No, I don't know. Right? I don't know how else you explain how, like, you know, so he can survive people like the how did he survive the political ambition of Elliot Spitzer?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
How did that
exactly.
happen?
Exactly. Exactly. And all the other
and
Elliot Spitzers
other,
out there.
Yeah, every other
because
wannabe.
This guy
or
is
was
a
it
walking...
because he was considered a joke at that time?
I mean, yeah, but he I, could I mean, be a joke. But,
yeah,
all
but
the,
they would still, you know,
all
as soon as he came out and said Obama wasn't born here would be the time that they should
that
be,
would have
oh,
been
let's
when
just
you've been
this
like,
guy in jail.
Hey, if you,
yeah.
like, have you guys looked into this foundation like at
right.
all? Have you?
like, you know that like obnoxious rich reality guy? Let's
I mean, look
finally
at the,
go after
the
his rampant
stuff.
Criminal
I mean,
activity.
The idea that there was never a complaint lodged about
yeah.
this guy?
Yeah.
That nobody ever thought like, I'm ambitious. I'm going to go after it. And nobody did it?
Yeah.
That just seems
well, you know
impossible
what it,
to me.
It's the Donnie Deutsch thing. Donnie Deutsch a week or two ago said, and I get, you know, and he's one of these guys who I think was quite buddy-buddy with Trump. He went on this whole thing that got clipped around all of these places that we look at for sound. And I didn't, you know, because it's Donnie Deutsch, I don't want to use it. But he was like, this, you know, becoming president's his undoing. And everybody knows that this whole thing has been a criminal enterprise. And if you knew New York real estate, you know his whole organization is dirty. And this, and it's like, okay, so wait a second. You knew for decades while you were hobnob. I mean, this is the media version of that, but it's kind of like the same principle. It's like it was an open secret that this guy's a criminal.
Yeah. Well, I can understand why, you know.
No, I know media is different, but you're
right.
speaking
but,
to your point
but it's
of like.
It's hard
it
to imagine
like,
yeah, that right. nobody touched this because it's also like maybe it's his money, but
no,
I don't
he
know.
He doesn't have real money.
And, like, and, you know, it is not hard to run into people who are like, oh, yeah, my cousin, he does electrical contracting out in Queens. He got screwed by Trump.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like everybody seems to have a story.
Seriously.
Like Andy Kindler, I think he's like.
Andy Kindler had
yeah,
a story.
Dad or
yeah, it was somebody close to him.
Just
I don't
anybody
remember
random.
Who, but it was like just.
I yeah. find that very strange. But if it is the case, it. What? All right. Just, you know, look. Saying this with complete candor that it's, you know, like sort of. This is very speculative
right.
and just, you know, sitting around and this is not a normal show. And so I don't feel like we need to maintain the same. But if that is the case, that means that Mueller's project is probably protecting that part of the story as much as revealing anything else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and yeah. that makes the investigation that much harder, right? It's like that thing, like we found a gun on him, but we didn't have a warrant. So now we got to go back and build some other story as to how we got
in. How we got in. Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's I hadn't even really considered that, but it seems like it would explain some of the, I mean, because all the time you're thinking like, why were these obvious threads not pulled on, you know? And that, I guess that would be an explanation for it, where like the things that we know through reporting that you're like, that seems like a straightforward felony. And,
right.
And like no one tugged on that at any point.
Even all the contacts that Trump had prior to, you know, sort of it being about collusion.
Yeah.
You know,
just like
what looks to us like what looks to some now as collusion could very well be, you know, they're just there are agencies that just use him as like bait. Honestly,
just,
and just like, let's see who nibbles at him. And let's this is a way for us to track. And this guy's such a fucking, you know, egotistical moron who was bequeathed. You know, that story in the Times that came out about their tax like corruption. I mean, you know, the opportunity that I feel like that's being lost in this moment is that it's not that even aside from my wild, you know, conspiracy theory, there's no doubt in my mind that virtually that 75% of the families that have several hundred millions of dollars do the exact same thing that Fred Trump did to get money to their kids. They build, you know, like shell companies. There was a report about, you know, Ivanka, you know, Javanka are going to, you know, like 2 weeks ago, they're going to, it's illegal to capitalize on tax proposals that you propose. And of course, you know, that's, but the tax proposals themselves are like, hey, this is scandalous.
Yeah,
like this is legal. Mm-hmm. It's scandalous. I mean, the whole tax system and none of it. It seems like there's a big opportunity that's being missed by everyone to sort of say like we're getting a window into what's actually going. What is, you know, even if you know whether you're.
Is this where you have to put on your be a good dirtbag socialist and be like. Clear. I mean, that's the dividing line, I think, between people who are like, we need to get rid of Trump and we need to get rid of the conditions around Trump and a politics of this guy's so horrible, this guy's so horrible, this guy's so horrible, and then let's get back to normal.
But it almost feels like neither camp is putting it together. Like,
really? I don't know.
I mean, I think in a general way, you hear the left say, this is what's wrong with America. But it's not, I feel like it's not, there's nobody out there doing the sort of the reportorial work that says, like, this is not sui generis.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. But even like a guy like Anand Giridharadas who had a great thread on, no, this is actually very normal behavior. Trump just did it in a typically stupid way. I think it is out there.
Yeah.
Among people who want to take a more systemic look on it. I would love to, if this is true, to watch Trump all of a sudden flip into like, yeah, for years I was just exposing crime. Just working deep cover. It was hard to be. These people, they are actually disgusting people.
Trump,
terrible people.
Trump coming out as a deep state operative himself would be that's an incredible twist.
That's the twist. Yes.
Can I please take off this horrible fake wig and get back to using my real head of hair?
Or it would be like as if Robert Mueller actually is going to expose all of this in like a mass exposure of the global oligarchy. And he was just like, you know, like every innocent Muslim teen I put in jail in an entrapment case, I knew I was working towards something.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, as the whole global Davos elite and the Trump organization get put in cuffs, I realize why I had to put that underdeveloped Chechen kid in jail for a fake terrorism
This
plot.
Is where we do
It was the, hard, but it was worth it.
This is where we do the crossover episode with Bill Mitchell, right? Yeah. And all the QAnon people who think that. All right. Well, I mean, so, you know, the question is there going to be enough overwhelming evidence of like sort of this like deep corruption, or if there's a politician who's going to emerge anywhere who is going to start to sort of say like, I mean, that's my biggest lament this year in terms of politics, in terms of who did not get elected was Zephyr Teachout.
I
feel like Zephyr Teachout would have been that figure to sort of say like, here are the Trump crimes, and here's also actually like Ken Langone's been doing the same shit here, and so hasn't Andrew Cuomo. And I don't know. I just said Ken Langone just as an example, not in one that is not in one that. But I'm saying a Ken Langone type.
No, right. Ken Langone might be super scrupulous.
Yes, it's very possible.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's totally
but I'm
possible,
saying
yeah.
a very wealthy scion.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a very, very vulgar Marxist take, but it does still feel like the party is like too much made up of people who hobnob with these people for someone to make that that case, basically. That like what we're seeing is a window into how these people have been screwing all the rest of us for years and years. And I mean, Sanders has a version of that, but it's like the sort of the version where it's like millionaires and billionaires have too much money, and not the version where it's like, here are the specific things they're doing to perpetuate their power.
I think like even the Sanders critique is not, there's just still not like sort of like there, and I understand it. You have to, because of the political moment, and certainly like, let's talk about just like what happened in the midterms. I mean, for all of the don't run against Donald Trump stuff, and certainly the Democrats out there, as far as I can tell, as far, you know, from every like reporter I trust who was out covering these things, they ran a lot on basically some version of improve the Affordable Care Act or Medicare for All or something like that, or infrastructure. You know, I never heard one reporter. The only people I heard saying the Democrats are running too much against Trump were basically commentators who had no idea.
Just Washington commentators and not campaign reporters.
Yeah, like Ralph Nader.
The American people are worried about welfare reform.
Don't make it personal. All the reporters said, you know, all the reporting from the districts were like they're running on Medicare. But with all that said, it was Trump who drove people to the polls in record numbers. So I understand the desire to make it about just about Trump because it has real political leverage. But I've yet to see anybody say like, hey, this criminality is like, you know, this is like, this seems to be the way that things work.
Yeah. Again, you know, there's this thing that you were mentioning where commentators are like, well, this is what happens when you let New York real estate into Washington, is because this is just how things work. And it's like, well, why haven't you been telling me that for the past 10 years? But then, you know, you hear stuff like, you remember that Ivanka and Chelsea Clinton used to be friends, like literal friends who hung out.
Yep.
And then like the second Trump is elected, Ivanka is in some way like involved in setting absurd prices for rooms at the Trump Hotel for the inauguration, that they raised more money than anyone has ever raised for reasons that are unknown.
And the type of person we're talking about, the type of pundit we're talking about, was still saying like, oh, I think Ivanka will. She's going to try because she's friends with Chelsea Clinton. And she cares about the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, they're they're such a broad, even just delusional. Even if you don't want to go into immoral.
A lot of it is denial. I think a lot of it is denial,
delusion, and just insularity.
So that's one end of the spectrum. Is that, you know, the sort of that's ongoing story of the criminality. I think even if you discount the sort of international intrigue aspects of it, it's still like just shocking that this dude like
I just love like they just like, we didn't even know that this particular crew of Hong Kong heroin traffickers existed. It's like, hey guys, that it's Fat Chow. It's Fat Chow. It's my new friend from meeting in Soho. Come on. I'll tell you what, best Asian whores ever. They just like discover these entirely new criminal networks.
You have a young kid, not quite fully conversant, but you know. When I talk to my 13-year-old and my 5.5-year-old who's like, Trump is mean, you know, and my 13-year-old is just like, the guy's a fucking asshole. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is the president of the United States. Like, there's no – like, I already raised you, you know, where you can't believe in princesses waiting for – like, there's no – you know, it's like – I've told you from a very, very early age, there's no Santa Claus, and we're not going to chop down nature to make a shrine to consumer gifts. Sorry, folks, I'm a little bit of a Scrooge Christmas Eve, but like,
Hippie yes, Jew Scrooge on that.
It just so happens that the president now is one of the most despicable human beings they could possibly imagine. not one of the most despicable presidents you could imagine.
No, but like,
one of the most despicable human beings you could imagine. And he's president.
Yes.
Because half of the country thought that'd be a good idea.
Or because half of the country was just said, fuck it, I don't care if it's a good idea.
Right, exactly. Like, this is so irrelevant.
Or a fourth of the country, because half of the country won't vote.
Right.
Because they're all disgusted by
well,
the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's been a dynamic that has
sure,
been long term.
Sure,
I mean, it's not
sure,
like we
sure,
had sure, an era in America. Now, part of that was a function of like purposely suppressing people. But it's not like we had an era of like 85% of the population is voting and they're now so discouraged. It's just like there's been always been a certain percentage of people who are purposely and maybe in some instances just coincidentally
right,
not engaged. But this is, you know, and it's also sort of depressing. It's like, dad's going to work again to talk about how people don't give a shit about like, that we're going to put
have
the worst
drink,
human being in as the guy who's, you know, sort of running the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit depressing.
That's a helpful distinction, though, because I was going to ask you about, like, what would be the difference between George W. Bush with kids and Trump? And I don't know if George W. Bush isn't one of the most despicable people as a person that you can imagine. He's an asshole, but he's not like the worst person ever as a human being.
This is literally the reason.
Which, that's interesting.
This is why nonpartisan pundits actually hate Trump, because
right,
they like that's the actual reason. Is there?
Oh yeah,
they can say and believe with any other politician that at heart they're a good person,
right?
And they're unable to do that with this president,
because this actually kind of settles the debate. Because I still think overall on the merits, Bush is definitely a much more destructive president than
well,
Trump.
Well, I mean, just in sheer
just,
bodies,
just in terms of
sheer
bodies.
Body count.
But then on the other hand, it's like a person occupying the office who is just a grotesque.
I think I think honestly you need history. You need some time to assess who is going to do more long-term damage.
Of course.
Now,
right.
Now, like
right,
for me, just in terms of my own life, the reason why I'm here is because of George Bush and because of what happened on the night of 2000, the 2000 mm-hmm, election. I mean, I think like I probably my life trajectory would have been different. And I, you know, so for me, that moment was what the Supreme Court did. And, you know, in part because I came from like, was raised by lawyers, that to me was like, oh, this is the unwinding. And I was convinced that we would remember the 2000 election much more than we would 9/11 in many respects, because I don't think that is actually
hasn't quite panned out
that way. But I think that, you know, I think history is going to tell how destructive Donald Trump is to the American project. Maybe it'll be healing. Who knows?
Earth,
I think. Like,
hold on for 1 second, Matt. Is there something going on with his microphone? I feel like just check, or maybe it just needs to be. That's better. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. When we're talking about what Trump's administration is politically, outside of the question of Trump personal, like it's a continuation. It's comparison almost doesn't make sense to me, because it just feels like this is the natural continuation.
Right. It's like comparing one part of the tree to another part of the tree. It's you're comparing the same thing to itself.
Yeah.
It's just a different
stage. Do you remember when Trump's first interview with O'Reilly after he announced, and he's like, I'm going to bomb Iraq, blah, and O'Reilly's like, you sound like George Bush. And Trump goes, yeah, I'm a little smarter.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm a little smarter.
Is that the one where he basically rubbed it into the fact that his family had left him?
I think so.
He's like, I've got a family. How's your family doing? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot you didn't get custody.
No, that was after a debate.
Oh, yeah.
That was even more awkward.
All right, let's leave Trump aside to the extent that we can, because the best thing I would say, there's, I feel like people have been exposed this year. Okay, put Trump aside. I think there is more awareness today that Chuck Schumer sucks at his job, broadly speaking, than was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I also think there's more awareness today that Paul Ryan is a piece of garbage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Than there was at the beginning of the year. And I think both those things are great for the country.
Yeah.
I don't see any resolution to what we do about Chuck Schumer. And I don't see, you know, I talked about the Ezra Klein piece. I don't see any reckoning as to why did people think that Paul Ryan wasn't a piece of garbage.
What are you doing to make sure that you don't assume this about the next Paul Ryan?
Well, that's exactly the point. Like, that's the thing that's really driving me crazy lately is that, like, this could be a great period of revelation and awakening and mm-hmm. sort of primary education for, you know, all different facets of society. And I feel like complete waste.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just like a complete waste.
Yes. It's like the Max Boot wrote the book, right, about where he's like, Trump made me realize that what if this political philosophy and movement I've been a part of for years was actually mostly about racism? And it was like, so, okay, so you get a book out of it. What does everyone who already knew that, what do they get out of it?
Yeah.
Right. You're right. What about for those of us who understood it was about racism and weren't like, no, I wasn't racist. I was really just genuinely committed to like constant global military intervention and top end tax cuts.
Did you read Boot?
Max Boot's book? No, I didn't. No.
Okay. I mean, because I'm curious about it. Because, you know, I read something from Kurt Bardella today on the show. You know who that guy is, right? And I have to say that, like, I was convinced. I mean, it was a USA Today piece.
Yeah.
But I was convinced, like, he just told a very basic story. I grew up in upstate New York. I was adopted. I completely denied my... Even though he couldn't outwardly hide it. I completely denied my Asian American heritage because I got basically beat up because of it. And that's what dictated the next 15, 20 years of my life. I was in denial as to who I was. And then, you know, whatever, the circumstances changed. And now I realize, like, wow. And like
Max Boots, I mean, look, credit where credit is due. He doesn't seem to like racism, but he's not. It's a like... His big thing now is like, Macron's cool. Why are French people protesting?
Right.
Like his thing is basically
let
like,
me make the same mistake again.
Literally like,
but just in a different context.
Yeah. Like at the very least, you could when you had an opportunity to embrace the third way when it was like relevant back during like AOL, you could have done that. But that was when you were a Bush Republican. And now during like the, you know, Proud Boys era, you've discovered
right.
Clintonism. Great.
I do.
Props to you, buddy.
This is maybe maybe I only think this because it sort of involves like the industry in which I work, but I do think that since basically Iraq, there has been like an actual concerted effort to make sure people don't learn lessons about being wrong, just because the people who are still in charge of everything were so disastrously wrong. So I feel like we can say people are awakening to the fact that Paul Ryan was always a fraud. People are beginning to realize Chuck Schumer has the worst political instincts in Washington. But there's resistance to making the sort of changes that would like elevate people who didn't make that mistake.
But hasn't that always been there? The only difference now is that we actually are getting, like, what you're describing is actually progress.
Yeah.
Which I think is a function of, like, social media and the technology that we've seen. I mean, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's not like people are going around like, everybody got it wrong on Vietnam. I mean, you know, like we're not going to hear from those people anymore. Like that, no, that didn't happen.
Wasn't like the big lesson from Vietnam for the mainstream pundit class? Like people really overlearned the lesson from that.
And right.
America's
that was
way too skittish about bombing other countries after
they
Vietnam.
They skipped the lesson. And went right
they
to
went
the overlearning.
To the,
Hopefully after we thrash Grenada and Panama around a little bit, people will mature a little bit. So overly triggered about Vietnam.
When Bush attacked Iraq the first time, it was hailed, if I remember, as we're finally over our Vietnam syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. I mean, it was just like there was just a sigh of relief. Like We don't have to be so skittish anymore.
We don't. Exactly. We don't have to like worry about all the wars we're in.
All right, let's talk about the midterms because that's obviously like sort of the big. I would also say what happened in the the teacher strikes was a big deal politically too. Yeah. But I think we need to see down the road. I mean, I went to Pittsburgh to the AFT convention and spoke to some people there. And it was interesting to me how many of those leaders were like, I feel like I fucked up. Like, it didn't do strikes for years. And now I think like they realize like it's an arrow in your quiver that actually you got to use.
Right.
And they seemed willing to do that. I think everything got subsumed by the election.
Right.
And the election turned out, I think, as well. I mean, I think people thought, okay, North Dakota, Indiana, Florida, those three states, 6 months earlier, you would have been, or 4 months earlier, you would have been like, yeah, no, the Democrats could win those and keep the Senate from flipping. Florida was a fucking disaster, it seems to me. The other two, like, we played the clips of Kramer in North Dakota. I remember, like, we played that, right? What was that station? He was on, like, the local station.
Valley News Live, I think.
Talking about Kavanaugh. And I was like, if she doesn't win there's something very fucked up about North Dakota. And it was actually that stuff, the Kavanaugh stuff, that sunk her.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How fucked up is that?
Extremely fucked up, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the...
Like, it fucked her up so badly that even when she came out to vote against him, it was irrelevant.
It didn't matter. Yeah, it already didn't. I don't know if this turned out to be, like, completely true, but there was, like, I saw the analysis that was basically, like even in this wave election, rural areas were even more hard right than they had been before. And that's because it's like all it's purely resentment. And it's purely like the knowledge of, this is sort of a take I'm borrowing from my friend Tom Skoka, but it's like, it's a coalition that is acting now with the knowledge that it has the power to deny everyone else what they want. Like, and I think like wow. North Dakota is like, Like fuck you. Like, we don't, like, we
the economy's been doing fine because of oil, like, for the last decade. Like, it doesn't have that issue.
Yeah, like, that's true, too. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think, like,
it's nothing more dangerous than a little guy with a little power.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, the angry rural vote right now.
How much of it is that I would bet, I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to guess, I would bet that Fox News has 100% clearance in North Dakota, and that MSNBC has about probably 20% clearance in North Dakota, 25%.
It's probably higher. They like their cable up there, but definitely true about Fox News.
Yeah. I would bet that there is no left-wing radio, and it's only a right-wing radio.
Well, they used to have Ed Schultz.
That's right. He left a long time ago.
He left a long time ago, yeah. Kavanaugh just reminds me, too, of, like, how do you not make that a story about how grotesque elite prep schools are instead of a story about
who's going to do who sitting up there is going to do
which
that?
Which person up there is ever going to do
we
that?
Did a right. whole, we actually did on Alona and I on my show did the episode was like Kavanaugh and prep school villainy.
Yeah.
And it just turned into like a devolving like. Like basically, Alona went to a prep school. There's just like a bunch of prep school stories. It's like, Jesus Christ. This is a great little microcosm of everything wrong with essentially oligarchy.
The thing about the Kavanaugh stuff that really disturbed me at the time, as I recall it now, was that Kavanaugh seems to me to be the first person, maybe we saw some Congress people do this, but on a national level, the first person to adopt Trumpism as a tactic,
yeah,
where he sat there and I focus on this just because it's the most sort of like tawdry and sort of sad and obvious in some ways, but the Renata alumnus thing where he because I can because like I saw this shit in college and I saw it actually I saw it in law school with a couple, and it was not a private school thing. It was actually people who had come from one of the New York State, one of the CUNYs. And a couple of students, you know, who were in law school together, they knew each other. And one guy knew this this woman who I was, you know, sort of vaguely, whatever. But the, it involved, but there was a story that followed her from that school because of like of guys talking about like sexual stuff.
Yeah.
And that stuff was on, I saw it on my campus in college. And the so I knew exactly what that whole Renate alumnus thing was, right? I mean, don't know
anybody
the specifics.
Could
yeah,
tell
well,
you what
yeah, I mean,
was.
I don't know. I don't know. But no, certainly what was clear to me, I mean, first of all, and he says it was an homage to her because she was such a good friend, which, incidentally, apparently she didn't know about.
Right.
Yes. Like that's the really caring homage where you don't tell the
you really
recipient
pay tribute
who
to
you,
a friend
yeah,
by
you
not
don't tell
them
about the tribute, how valuable
yeah,
their friendship was to you.
It's like a
and,
gift. It doesn't mean
and anything. I felt very bad for that woman because clearly she doesn't want to get involved in this. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it was, oh, God, it was awful, yeah.
But the thing is, he's sitting there and he's telling a blatant lie.
Mm-hmm.
And every single human being in that room, mm-hmm. everybody coming to visit, his wife, his kids, his parent, whoever's in that room, all the senators, the bailiff, whatever it is, everybody, the people working the cameras, every single person in that room knew that that guy had just told a fucking total lie. The answer could have been, it was one of those things you do as a kid.
That was what
I'm
was
embarrassed
incredible
about, about
do
now.
Any of that for
I'm
any
embarrassed
of them.
About
he
now.
Didn't, he didn't say, you know what? I was
for
an
the
immature
sake,
asshole. I'm
for
sorry.
For the sake of the person that as an immature person we
right.
hurt,
right.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
But I do apologize.
But I do but and
I'm ashamed.
I feel I'm ashamed
right.
about no. it and all this. And there was multiple other things that he could have done along the, but the weird thing to me was that everybody knew he was lying. He knew
he
was
knew,
lying.
He knew.
His wife knew he was lying. The person asking the question knew he was lying. The people hearing the answer knew he was lying. No one said a word.
Yeah.
No one said the word lie. No one said a word.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was, you know, it's a specific thing. You don't want to get that woman involved. But that was the whole metaphor for the entire exchange.
Right.
And that happened with Trump a lot, too. Yeah. Like, everybody knows he's lying, but we're taking him at face value.
Yeah.
And it
is there's something
and it worked.
Yeah, that's what is fucked up about it is that even with Trump, you can just sort of people told themselves, well, you know, he's doing a bit. This is all like he's just kind of playing around. But this was just the construction of a lie that he knew was unconvincing. He knew no one could possibly be convinced by this lie, and he told it like secure in the knowledge that he wouldn't convince anyone, but it wouldn't matter. And that was what was I like found. Deeply depressing about it.
No, that was the point. It was like, yeah, you just need to come out and lie.
Because it was about,
and
I mean,
then
yeah,
we'll do
it
about
you need
power
to
for you.
Lie
yeah.
forcefully.
You just need
and
to
that's
lie in an angry,
be,
aggrieved way.
That's going to be yeah. The litmus test.
Yeah.
Is not how whether you lie. It is going to be to what extent are you going to not break down and have any shame about
yes.
it.
Yes.
And yeah. that is, I think, a very... Like, you know, for all the talk about authoritarianism and fascism that's coming and this and that, and I think there's been moments where I've sort of felt like, oh, shit, this is – some of this stuff is overblown, but some of this
some
is
of it
actually,
is, yeah.
like, real.
Yeah.
That type of thing where we sort of assess, you know, up or down is going to be a function of just, like, sheer will, right? Like,
yeah.
We're not, you know, merit is
and that's the,
even
also,
even the fiction of merit,
and that's
yeah.
the direct
and
pipeline,
is,
right, between the voters that Tom Soka was talking about. That
yeah.
is what connects the elites to the non-elites in terms of like the just the attitude profile of this stuff.
We one of the shows that we're going to play this week of repeats is a cultural history of mesmerism. Do you know, I don't know if you saw this book out there, but, and I never knew this, but mesmerism is actually named after a guy.
Yeah, it's named after a guy named Mesmer, right?
Yeah, which I had no idea.
Great guy.
And
did a great job.
She, you know, she just looks into the cultural history of that, basically that snake oil salesman in America.
Yeah.
But her assessment about Trump is fascinating insofar as like the marks, they know they're getting
yeah.
paid, but they
yeah.
would rather, it's like, they'd rather be with the guy who's playing them than
than the people who
like at least we know he's with us.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he's
yeah.
our asshole.
Yeah,
he's our liar. It's that type of guy. It's like, you know,
well, this is cool. Like when people still do the when people are like. You act, you know, I can't believe you thought Mexico was going to pay for the wall. It's like, no one thought that.
Right, right.
He was just saying it. No one thought it. It was just a thing to say to get people excited.
Right. And we knew he was lying, but he was doing it for our benefit.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for their benefit.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. All right, but let's just get back to the election. So the Democrats win. They flip 40 seats. There's a bigger progressive contingency than maybe mm-hmm. there have been, you know, since, like, you need to say that, right? Right? In Democratic politics?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, 30, 40 years or so.
Yeah.
But that is, there's also a decent contingency of not progressives in yeah. the Democratic Party. And much of this seems to me to be driven by a non-ideological movement of people who are engaging. And they're bringing their ideologies with them, but that's not what's driving
that's not,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah. you get outcomes that are disparate because it is the thing that's triggering people is Trump and sort of like and I think to a large extent, you know, women feeling like, holy shit,
yeah.
like with all of her problems, she still was a far more qualified candidate than that fucking like,
yeah.
the most despicable human being. Like, honestly, like you could come up with a more despicable person to run for office, but it would be a challenge.
It would be hard to
right?
find.
Yeah, like, where would you find that person?
Yeah. You know, honestly, where would you find – I think actually amongst the people where it would be like terrestrially possible for them to actually run, it would be impossible.
Okay, right.
Right? Like, no, I actually think that is impossible.
For all
like,
of our critiques. Worse,
there's like people in jail on like pedophilia charges that literally can't
right,
run
right,
for president.
Right.
And they're worse people than Donald Trump.
Right. But it's
that,
maybe
hard to
find.
I guess Steve King could run, but
keep
I don't
this
think
in mind
win.
Too. Our critique yeah. of Clinton, okay, which I think is perfectly valid, the 63 million or 68 million people who vote against Clinton do not have anything like that critique.
No, they don't.
They're super concerned about her abusive Haiti.
Their critique runs from she's a Democrat,
yeah,
and she's not going to cut my taxes, through to she is a murderer.
Yes.
Who, you know, dragged Vince. To she's an uppity woman.
Yeah.
You're actually and, missing something at the end of each of those statements should be, and she's a bitch.
And she's a bitch. Well, no, but yeah. That's what I said.
And she's a bitch. I would not just leave it at the uppity
right,
woman
right,
category.
Yeah. Right,
I would
right,
say it's just
right.
a question of how strong the subtext is for each of those.
Or it's like, she killed Vince Foster, and she's a bitch.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so,
you know, I had no problem with Bill collaborating on the murder of Vince
right, Foster. Right, exactly. Bill like, Clinton killed Vince Foster, but, you know, he's McDonald's, so yeah, good guy. So, but the point being, so I think, you know, and for her supporters who are either aware of our critiques or not aware of her critiques, and they don't rise to the level of or people just like sitting on the sidelines who pay attention to politics like normal human beings, as opposed to us, they're just like, this is unjust.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All they, you know, like right. they don't see, you know, the critiques or, you know, of whatever it is. Like, I'm torn. She's going for suburban voters, trying to keep Paul Ryan around. They're going to do something with tax repatriation. I'm not happy with that. Like, I don't think her TPP, you know, anti-TPP stance is really, you know, there's any depth to that. No, that's not, we're, you know.
Right.
We're talking a couple million people,
yes.
maybe.
No, yeah. As opposed I would to say like, the one
but,
thing that
but,
sorry.
But my point is like that activated women.
I think it totally did.
And
yeah.
you know, all the data shows this. They brought their own ideologies with them, some of which were, you know, included those critiques, some of which were just like not included that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the most potent force in the Democratic Party in terms of like Whether that's durable, I don't know. But that's the only reason why they won 40 seats. Yeah. It's because all those people came out, were activated, and did shit. And that runs contrary to, you know, sort of the aspirations of the lefter part of the Democratic Party, although that's ascendant, I think, in many respects.
Yeah.
But it is it's a different story, it seems to me. It's not the story. It's not necessarily there's very few people who are talking about that narrative. Let me put it that way.
I think that's true, but I actually also think, and this is where I disagree with like fellow leftists sometimes, because I think like, great, right? Like, setting aside like the people you deal with, like, you know, Clara Jeffries or Neera Tanden or whatever, who might try to latch onto that and are going to be disingenuous.
But
I think like normal, individual moms who did like incredible work getting people elected, I think they're actually going to end up being pretty amenable to things like Medicare for All. Like, I think this is an incredible pool of people to collaborate with.
It's a great opportunity.
To enhance our understanding of certain issues, to move them to the left on others. Like, I think, like, yes, it is. It's a great opportunity.
Opportunity, yeah. without no doubt. Yeah, but it is – there is still – wants there to be a narrative and interpretation of that showing up that I don't think is accurate and may do a disservice to seeing people to see that opportunity.
Right. I mean, I think like what drove people to the polls was that sort of that shock and anger at not just that Trump winning, but like the way he won. And I think, like, you know, with suburban women, probably a lot of it is like they can't believe the number of people they know who sort of allowed this to happen. And so that's not a left wing. That's not a left-wing explanation for how an election went, because it's not like material conditions led people to go to the polls and we need to be economic populist or anything like that, because like elections are just sort of insane things that involve a lot of random events and complex psychology. But I think like this is an opportunity now to take this coalition and be like, yeah, I mean, like what Ocasio-Cortez does, which is like,
right.
Yes. All right. So like, look,
well.
Like
yeah.
here we are. Like,
I don't give a shit who elected me and why. I'm going to take this advantage
of this opportunity. Yeah. Exactly.
And present. I mean, that I think is the biggest danger for leftists at this point, is just sort of like, instead of trying to make the analysis fit your aspirations,
totally.
Just go on the aspirations.
Yeah,
take the win.
Yeah.
Take the win. Take the win. Use what's there. And, you know, like, that's what's interesting. Like, just looking forward into 2019, and then we'll wrap up. I know we're a little bit longer than we thought we were going here. But my sense is, we were going to bet, right?
Oh, yeah. We have to do a few bets before we get out of here.
We were going
to
bet as to whether Bernie Sanders enters the race. I am a little bit skeptical because of Elizabeth Warren's proposal on drugs. Because there were everybody in the Senate who's running came out with a drug proposal over the past like month and a half. Like I have like one is like the Drug Price Control Act, and like Merkley and Klobuchar and Sherrod Brown and Bernie came out with one of his, and they all, you know, sort of complement each other different. Hers is the most radical. I don't think it's, you know, like, you know, the VA apparently started doing this at the beginning of the year. They started to produce generic drugs when there was spot shortages. But she is calling for this when there's a market failure, and defining the market failure as pretty broad for generic drugs. And that is more socialist than anything Bernie has proposed. It is the government getting involved in the means of production. And my theory is that she would not be picking a lane. Her policies would not be filling a lane to the left of Bernie Sanders. If Bernie Sanders is going to run, she's going to be the person who's like Bernie Sanders, but safer.
Yeah.
And that move sounds to me like you're laying the groundwork because you think Bernie's not going to run. Now, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe she just thinks he isn't or whatnot. But so let's make a bet, because this is the big question, right? Because everything opens up if Bernie's not there. Like, people won't even – there's a huge percentage of Democrats.
I'm breaking Booker if Bernie doesn't run. There's a lot of
who won't know who to hate.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yes. People will have no clue.
That's
people
what I'm
will
saying.
Not know who
that
who
is
to hate.
The only upside of Bernie not running is to see what all these people would do.
Like
with
where everyone shakes.
Yeah, right. Where would yeah. they make? Where would they have like well, bizarre what, emotional meltdowns?
Like, this is what happens yeah. when these tactics get applied to, you know, Cory Booker.
Yeah,
right.
Or these tactics get applied.
It would be a very
to,
crab in a barrel
know,
situation.
I have to say, like, speaking of.
So, but wait, you don't think he's going to run? You're putting yourself down for he's going to pass.
We're all putting $5 in a pool. I don't want right. to. I know I don't want to rope
right,
you
five
into
bucks
it.
In all right, pool.
I'll I have to think. I have to think about it for a minute. But I'll bet. Yeah. All
okay, right. So
five
you're
bucks.
Five
bucks.
Pool.
He's not running.
I say he's not running.
All right, but I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I think it depends on if he sees numbers doing well or not.
But of course, it depends. On
All right. I'm gonna say he runs. I'll say he runs.
All right, I'm going to say, my bias is, I think that's interesting, but I also think, like, he essentially just did a, you know, kitchen cabinet at the Sanders Institute 2 weeks ago, and not only domestically with leading progressives, but essentially had, like, a global contingent fly into Vermont to beg him to run for president, which is, like, literally what Varoufakis did there. He made sure that Haddad came in Brazil. So I actually think that the fact that he's spending so much time around foreign policy is really interesting because I think it's both where he wants to go, but it also opens up a whole other lane of daylight from somebody like an Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, that's not going to be particularly important to getting voters, but it definitely is setting a whole new standard, I think, for like the issues he's putting markers down on, even if he does want her to move towards him and run. Anyways, I already forgot
what Perrine bet.
I said running.
He's running. He's running.
Okay. He's running. Matt? Because I want all this cash.
Yeah, you're going to lap it in.
All right, get in the mic.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
you
yeah.
son of a bitch.
You fucking Heidi Heidkamp of this
God
shit.
Damn. You're like a hedge fund guy. That's all you're doing. Yeah. You're just playing the split.
He is. He is. Yeah. He's just
I'm just balancing the books.
That's awesome.
All right, well, Matt,
all right,
and
yeah,
I
fuck Sam up. So why isn't he running?
I just have a feeling like it's Bernie versus if it's Bernie versus the field, and I want Bernie. I just always expect to be disappointed, so I don't think he's going to actually run.
Fucking arbitrage. All right, and I'm going to make another prediction. So we got $20 in the pool. Matt and I are going to split it.
Yep, spend it wisely.
I think you're going to see. I think what Bernie is going to do with those people. Yes. I think that's going to be part of the deal.
Yeah, no.
You want my support?
It could be a much broader.
I need this, and that.
I'll tell you what.
Bernie's running for Secretary of State.
If he doesn't run.
No.
I mean,
but look.
But if
Warren knows
this, out with a wave,
Warren knows this more than anybody.
If she comes out and is like.
Personnel is policy.
I'm also talking.
Yep. And I think Bernie's learned that lesson,
We're
too.
We're going to staff these agencies, and I actually have a plan on democracy in Brazil and the Iran deal. Then, I mean, the one thing that would happen is I think any prevaricating that people like us would have as to like who our second pick is, done. Immediately support Elizabeth Warren. In a heartbeat. Like, I think that would be a seamless transition if they did it that way. Like, I think she would get a lot, like, at least speaking for myself, because I'm not going to do the, like, oh, I'm not sure yet. Let's see where
they
can push people. I'll say who I'm going to vote for.
She wins the left, but she doesn't win the ideologically incoherent but against Clinton vote.
No, but the theory, I guess the theory is, right. But how big is that?
Who gets that, though?
I don't know.
Tulsi Gabbard.
No. Well, those guys.
I guess they're.
Which is a nightmare.
I guess
man.
They're Biden
or Beto.
Biden or Beto.
I mean, the upshot of Beto is that.
Or Sherrod Brown. I think Sherrod Brown could appeal to that type.
Maybe. I think the upshot of Beto is that he knocks Biden out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He cancels Biden out totally.
Right.
There's no purpose of Biden with Beto, and I've been much more bullish on Biden as a candidate than you. But if Beto's in. Why?
Did you see that that video of that's going around now that people are starting to dig up a Biden? Like, there's so much crap.
Oh no,
out
he's.
There.
I don't think he's going to do it. Actually, I'm pretty sure he won't do it.
No,
he doesn't need the hassle. He could much better.
He's done it. I mean, he has done it twice.
No, but it's like better.
Well,
to
here's
be
the
beloved uncle.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing.
I mean, I don't know.
And I think it's true with the Republican side more than the Democratic side, but I think this is changing too. as recently as 10 years ago, the conventional wisdom is like, you don't just run for president. It's a big decision. You got to get your family around. You got to realize you got to go through all this hell.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare. You're going to destroy yourself. But that's not the case anymore.
No, but
the Republican primary,
well,
but wait a second. The Republican primary showed this. And it's more true, I think, with the Republicans than it is the Democrats. But running for president, particularly when there's more than like five people running, it's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you have campaign paying for you to go do your book tour.
Right.
Campaign going out to do your social media, promote you. You're going to get a radio show. You're going to get a book deal. You're going to get – this is a business plan.
It's totally, totally true. But I think and in Biden's case that is – like I
now, tell me when Joe Biden wouldn't want to go around
well,
no, somebody else's dime.
I agree. But
have
read,
audiences.
I totally agree with that's a – right. The ego is a strong – but I read – there was some piece that came out in New York Magazine last week about this. And first of all, and this lends itself towards him running. He actually has turned down, like, they've actually, people have offered Joe Biden like $20 million worth of speaking gigs, which he has turned down because he doesn't want to have a Hillary Clinton situation, which is savvy. But on the other hand, do you really want to go from like beloved Uncle Obama vice president to like you run? And all that's going to happen is he's just going to, like,
that's
every
too,
single
too
massage video.
Well, first of
Anita
all,
Hill,
because he,
a rock,
he believes
segregation.
He thinks he's the only guy who can beat Trump. I think he's
he said the other day
I think
he thinks anybody can beat Trump. That's
Did
his
he?
First gaffe of the cycle.
Well,
he said 2 days ago, I think anybody could beat Donald Trump,
I
agree with him on.
I don't think, I mean, I think he goes into that, but I also think that, like, he could say to himself, like, I keep my head down a little bit. I can be a guy who the nominee has to come to me and say, what's it going to take to get your support, Joe?
It's possible.
And you know what? I want to be ambassador, or I want to be secretary of state.
Ambassador,
I want to be secretary of state.
Dude, honestly, for anybody who isn't Bernie, that's a pretty likely pick for secretary of state, regardless of whether he runs or not, frankly.
You know, this is the type of thing. Like, you could say, like, I can go out there, and as long as I just keep...
Also, the thing with his kid, that's not, like the kid who's passed away, his wife remarried the other kid.
I don't think he worries about... I mean,
know, man.
Honestly, like,
weird,
what salience is that going to have in today?
That's why he didn't run in 2016, but you're right. Today, it would have no salience.
Right? Like, I mean, come
totally
on.
True. That's totally true. That's totally true.
Here's the answer. I didn't have my imprisoned personal attorney to pay off anybody. That's the
I'm
answer
not saying
for
it's a
every
bad
charge
thing.
About
every,
anything.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Well, look, Alex, is there anything else that you feel like we cannot enter 2019 without having been said here?
Oh, my God. I'm not – that conversation made me dread the next 2 years. I'm just thinking about, like, Iowa now, and I'm thinking about all this other crap.
I keep focusing, I would say, on the opportunity that is,
yeah,
that
no,
is
I know.
Here.
I
like,
know.
It's going to be dismal. We're going to be living in a society
–
like,
God
help us that those four Democratic appointees on the Supreme Court live to 2021.
Yeah.
Can you indulge me for 20 seconds with the Bernie becomes president and the like Burlington College scandal blows up and Sanders is on TV being like, well, what he did was he ratted. He's a rat. It really should be illegal. What they do is they go, they find rats. My wife's this fucking sweet hippie, and they're taking advantage of her.
I don't think this goes away. You say the next 2 years, but I just don't think this goes away.
I mean, no.
Even regardless of who becomes president, I think this is like one of those. This is not a stain on America. This is like part of it is like things are warped in such a way that could present good opportunities, but I also am afraid of like. Brett Kavanaugh dialed into something.
Yep.
That after Blasey Ford spoke, I think everybody I know thought he's done.
Yeah.
And all he did is come out and say, like, I'm going to go with the Trump version, which is just keep saying it.
Just keep saying it.
Happy holidays, yeah. Everybody.
Merry Christmas. Ding, 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 ding. Can we get the bells going? Ding, 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 ding. All right, folks, enjoy the rest of the week of shows. They are all best ofs. Matt has made compilations of like some of the YouTube greatest hits. We're going to do freebie for everybody. Is that the way we're going to do this?
Yeah, Christmas spirit.
Yeah. I'm in Christmas spirit. All right. Fine. You can become a member of the show by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. All the other stuff, check out TMBS as well, and the Antifada, and Literary Hangover. And you can find Alex's work over at the Huffington Post. Check out. He's got something going up.
Got something that'll come up
this tomorrow.
Week. It'll come up this week. It'll be really fun. It's an end of the year thing. If you enjoyed the hack lists that I used to do for Salon way back in the day, you are really going to like this. So go to the Huff Post at your local web terminal.
Awesome. And we will be back live on Wednesday of January 2nd, I believe it is. But enjoy the best ofs. If you haven't heard these interviews, make sure you listen to them because they have been voted and we went through a long process. It's the best. And if you did listen to them, you want to listen to them again because they're literally the best of, and that's what we called them.
They're really good.
Okay, folks, bye-bye.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. Choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.